It's time for Monday Night Sports Talk on News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Featuring the News Gazette media sports writers, Matt Daniels, Bob Osmussen, and Scott Ritchie. Delivering the latest insights on the Illini and more. Join the program by calling 217-356-9397 or send a text to the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here are the News Gazette media sports writers and your host, Steve Kelly.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Monday Night Sports Talk. We are on location tonight. Always good to be on a golf course or near a golf course, and that's where we are this evening. We're at the U of I Golf Courses in Savoy, the site of the 30th annual Kendall Gill golf outing to benefit the Cunningham Children's Home. Matt Daniels is here, taking one for the team. Got the sniffles.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a little bit of a chest cold that my kids picked up last week, and I have not been able to shake it over the weekend. So you and Bob can carry the show.
We might have you do a little Barry White.
Yeah, my voice has gone down about 8 octaves.
Or Lou Rawls.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, Matt, you got 3 kids. That's going to be going on for, okay, ever.
Yeah, I was in the office on Saturday afternoon, and Jim Rosso was in, and he asked if I had a little bit of the crud.
Crud, is
what he called it. And I said, yeah, and I said, I told him the story, and he goes, just get used to it.
Right.
That's the rest of your life.
Jim picked that up from Bill Self. Bill Self used the term the crud. Jim likes it, and I kind of like it, too.
Bob Osmussen here. Scott Ritchie, a little vacation time, eh?
Yeah, he's hitting area golf courses this week, I think. I think he's going to try to play one every day. I don't think he was out here, though, today for the Kendall Gill golf outing.
Well, they had 200 people that were.
Yeah, that's great.
For
great
this
turnout.
Event. 50 teams. They played 9 holes on the orange and 9 holes on the blue, kind of a unique setup. Director of Golf Mike Wallner set that up for the folks out here, and the first wave of players is done, and the second group will be coming in before long, and we hope to have, depending on the timing, Kendall Gill to stop by and spend a few minutes with us, and maybe some other guests as well. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. We're at the All-Star break for Major League Baseball. Bob's all fired up for the Home Run Derby, huh?
I am. Ronald Acuna, one of my favorite players. Freddie Freeman is probably first right now, but yeah, he's got a chance to be the first Braver ever to win the Home Run Derby, which is kind of surprising they have never won it. Things only have been around since, 96, maybe? In the 90s, right?
No, it was in the
80s.
Early,
yeah, but they haven't always had somebody in the Home Run Derby.
Well, that's true,
yeah.
But you'd think somebody would have won it, but no. Chipper never made it, all for three. So
first Home Run Derby I remember, I think, was 91 when they had it at the Sky Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Cal Ripken Jr., I think, and 92, over in San Diego, and I don't know if it dates back further than the 80s.
My worry for him is that he's going to get all home run happy, start changing his swing because he's been awesome in the first half. Go come back and not hit home runs and pop up every time. So I'm worried that this affects him.
You're thinking way too much about it.
Yeah, you are.
I'm really worried about it. This happened before. Guys have had great first halves. Go to this thing, get screwed up, and come back. You know, I would say the guy from the Mets, he's a prime example of a guy that could do that.
Pete Alonso
could have a great night tonight and be screwed up the rest of the year.
The All-Star game itself is scheduled for tomorrow night in Cleveland. Football news, Big Ten Media Day. Can it be next week already? And
wow.
Yes, it can. Next Thursday and Friday, the 18th and 19th, Illinois has announced the players that will be in attendance there, 3 from each team. Reggie Corbin, no-brainer.
Great choice.
Nate Hobbs, cornerback, will be there. And Alex Palcheski, offensive lineman, will represent the Illini in Chicago. That's a good group of guys up there.
Yeah, I mean, Corbin, deserves to be up there based on his superb 2018 season. He's got a good story to tell because this time last year, no one was really talking about Reggie Corbin, and now he's the guy at running back for the Illini, and a guy that's been around the program for quite some time. Was here in 2015 when all the turmoil happened around the program, and he's really thrived now in Lovie Smith's tenure. And then you always get an offensive lineman to go up there. That's
right.
Just kind of
usually
a standard.
From Chicago,
yeah,
from the area. Nick Allegretti last year, so
prospect high school,
right.
And then Nate Hobbs. You know, that's a good sign for him. I think the fact
yeah.
that he was you know, among the Illini that were suspended last year, and now he seems to be back in the good graces of the coaching staff enough that they're going to take him up to Chicago for the you know, media around the country to meet him.
Yeah, I was trying to think who they would send on the defense.
Yeah.
And I thought Jake Hansen maybe, or, you know, maybe DeLay Harding or somebody older. Somebody's been around.
They had Jamal Milan last year, right? Chicago guy. He's back, but maybe I guess once was enough.
I think once is usually guys.
And then, you know, Tymir Oliver is a veteran, too, right, with a good story as well. But Nate Hobbs, I think, will represent the program in a fine manner, and a lot of people will get to know his story and his background.
Yeah, they're going to do like they've done the last few years. Seven teams will be there on Thursday, the other seven on Friday, and then the big event, the luncheon itself, is on Friday.
Which I haven't been to over probably 25 years.
I haven't either. I've gone to the Illinois availability and gotten as much as I could there. And the two-day thing, I guess, is the way they've got to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. And it can't happen, but it'd be nice if you could get all the opponents that Illinois is going to play,
correct,
and it just
that'd
doesn't work out their way, or maybe do the East one day and the West the next.
That makes more sense. I think their explanation for it is that they want to kind of split the markets.
Yeah.
So they don't want both Michigan schools there, for example, or both Illinois schools there, for example. They want to kind of have half one day, half the other. I guess there's a bunch of ways to cut it up, but it's fine. It'll work out. And we're going to stay both days. We'll see both teams, all 14 teams, and it's kind of fun. Now, when they go to 16 teams a couple of years down the road, maybe it'll be 8-8. They'll do it like that.
Well, as a writer, what do you get out of that? It's obvious what we get as broadcasters. We go up and maybe do something on Thursday, some live stuff there. But as far as stuff that you can use very far down the road, it's difficult because the coaches haven't even seen their teams yet.
Right. A couple of things that are really valuable to me. This won't surprise people. I love to talk, obviously. And so, to me, it's a great chance to catch up with people in the conference. And not only the officials, not only the coaches, but also the media people I know very well over the years. So it's a great chance to kind of see what's going on. So I'll see somebody from, say, Iowa. I'll say, hey, how's the team doing? So it's more of an information gathering thing for me. And also, you get to talk to the players that you don't always talk to. Matt pointed out to me, Adrian Martinez from Nebraska is going to be there. I want to talk to him because he's kind of the star of that team right now. So it'd be fun to talk to a guy like that. That kind of surprising as a sophomore that he's going there. It tells me Scott Frost kind of likes the guy. So there's a chance to talk to people you normally would not talk to. I try not to talk to spend a whole lot of time with the Illinois players because I'll say them all the time anyway.
And they'll get all kinds of different questions. They'll get what I call the national questions and the local questions.
Right.
And they're different in a way because the national guys will ask some of the things that they've heard 100 times from us already.
Right.
You know, to take it that way. But that's coming up next week, Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. Another news note of the day, Benjamin Bosmans Verdonk, Belgian basketball player for the Fighting Illini, is on campus. And he is able to work out with some limitations until he gets enrolled. Can't work out with the, where they get 4 hours a week or something like that. Can't do that yet, but he will be able to participate in the practices leading up to the trip to Italy. So he'll get some time with the team there. That's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they haven't come out yet with a full schedule for when they're taking that trip to Europe next month at all into Italy, but that's a great sign that you're going to have almost your full roster. Bernard Kuma is not on campus yet, but everyone else is. And any chance these young guys can get to mesh with all the veterans that Illinois men's basketball has coming back next season should bode well. And then, you know, Benjamin Bosmans Verdonk is kind of an unknown right now at this time, just like Georgie Bishanashvili was last summer for Illinois fans. And look what Georgie turned into. I'm not saying Benjamin Bosman Verdonk is going to be the next Georgie, but Brad Underwood has gone overseas quite often, recruiting-wise, in his tenure so far at Illinois.
Belgium has been good to Illinois. Mike Small would tell you that, and obviously now Brad Underwood would tell you that. That's kind of cool. I like Matt's pointed out this team is very international, and I think that's kind of cool. I think that's kind of speaks to where the campus is, too. So I think it's a good thing to have all this representation. It'll be a lot of fun.
We are at the U of I golf course, site of the Kendall Gill golf outing today, the 30th annual. Marlon Livingston from Cunningham Children's Home is with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Great day. We usually try to pick the hottest day of the year for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it's like in the 80s today, so it's been a terrific day. Over 50-some foursomes out here, so usually we have about 30. So, again, one of those golf tournaments that is growing in popularity. And so we're just excited all around. Great support from the community. A lot of sponsors came out. So, again, with the sponsors, obviously, when the sponsors step up, then the money for the foursomes, that gets goes right for the kids. And so camps, all types of special therapies. We got horses. We have dogs. We got art. We got music. We got choir. We got everything. So it's a cool place. It's a cool place to work, and it's a cool place to be.
It's pretty remarkable that Kendall Gill has been involved in this for 30 years now. And not many, you can't find many examples of things like that over the years. What has that meant to you guys?
Well, it's given the tournament momentum. And you'd think 30 years ago, a lot of people don't remember. Good or bad, people remember Kendall Gill. They remember that era. And it excites folks. And so he's missed two in 30 years. And you can tell a lot about the quality and character of somebody, where they spend their time. So we had little ones, you know, Coda and the little ones and Wendy and all them. They would load up, come down the night before. And he's got everything. He has so much going on. And for him to do that for us is very special.
Is anybody else doing this kind of thing for this extended period of time in the country? I've never, Steve's right, I don't think it's 30 years from one guy. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, for a not-for-profit fundraiser in a community of, let's say, 200,000.
Right.
No. I mean, I don't know of anything.
It's pretty cool.
Like this. And I worked in Florida for several years and big golfing communities.
Right.
You just don't get this kind of momentum without Coach Henson and Kendall Gill. So it's different. It's very different.
Kendall said when he first started, he thought it'd be a couple of years and then it would kind of fizzle out. So obviously that has not happened. I think, again, it must be goes to the community and how the people support this team and this program and obviously your facility.
Yeah, I mean, again, not to sound patronizing, but it's a great organization. Obviously, I'm a little jaded, and we're more than a children's home now. We do lots of education. Right. We do outpatient behavioral health. We do homelessness programs. And he's just I think he fell in love with this a long time ago, and it's been a great marriage, if you will, and a great partnership to have.
How does having a guy like Kendall Gill and Coach Henson and Mary Henson associated with Cunningham Children's Home just help year-round for you guys at all?
Well, it gives us credibility, and his endorsement, if you will, means that it's a special place for him and Coach Henson, and people want to get involved. And it makes it a popular place. It makes people want to ask questions. And normally this last year, of course, we opened up both courses. Sometimes we have to turn people away, and it's the notoriety that really does it. And I think our mission and what we do in the community obviously helps, but to have Coach Henson and Kendall Gill lend their names to it, and they come to campus, and you don't see, because we don't bring reporters out and cameras out for that, but his investment in what we do and his wanting to know what we do and how the kids are doing means a lot. And again, back to his character, when he went pro, this wasn't like after he made 10, 20, 15 million. It was the first thing that he did was to give to the Kendall Gill Group Home, not the last thing. And so, again, speaks to his character. He could have been hurt the next year and been done in the pros, but he just fell in love with that one meeting. He came out to campus and said, I think I need to be a part of this, and I want to be a part of this. So it surprised us, to be honest, for how long it's lasted. I think a little bit it surprised Kendall and how long this has lasted.
How many kids are being served now by Cunningham, and maybe – how many over the years, too?
Well, they say if you've gone to Memorial Stadium, the horseshoe, as they know it, for those that follow Illini sports, the horseshoe fits a little bit over 10,000 people, I think. That's how many kids that we've served since 1895. So we're celebrating 125th anniversary, which is unique because Kendall Gill's been a part of our 125-year for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So that's significant. So we serve about 500 youth and families every year, 56 in residence live on our campus. We have about 80 kids that come to school there every day. We have kids scattered out. When kids age out of foster care And that's kind of the nicest way we can put it. They turn 18 and have no one. And we're able to work with those kids until they're 21. And so we have about 40 kids in that type of arrangement spattered. And they're going to college. They're getting jobs. Sometimes they get fired from jobs. Sometimes they're getting in leases they can't afford. So we do that parent stuff with them to help kind of get them lodged. And like I said earlier, this is really not a charity. I know that if you give money, we're going to give you something that says you gave to a charity. But this is really a venture capital firm. You invest dollars in us, we're going to make good, responsible young men and women out of these folks. And our faith heritage and opportunity to get to know the Lord is just kind of an added bonus to what we do.
Well, appreciate your time. Keep up the good work, right. And we'll get Kendall on here shortly.
All right, thank you. Yeah, he must be having a great game, really taking his time with the putts, because most people are kind of on their last course, so you'll get the marquee guy here in a minute. So thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Marlon Livingston, the CEO of Cunningham Children's Home at 527. We'll take a timeout. This is Monday Night Sports Talk. We're at the U of I Golf Course, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. Stay with us. It is moving up on 532, Monday Night Sports Talk. Steve Kelly, Matt Daniels, Bob Osmussen. We're at the U of I Golf Courses in Savoy, the site of the Kendall Gill golf outing for Cunningham Children's Home. Just got an update on Kendall. He's still on the golf course, one hole to play. So we'll try to get him to swing by and visit with us when he does get in. It's a hole in one hole, so he's not going to pop in and not play that hole. You got to give that a shot for sure. But I'm hearing the leading score in this event today was 19 under par.
Oh, my.
Wow.
So that's cheating. 53.
Wow.
And
that's really good.
And my source said there was no cheating involved.
Okay.
But that's his story, and he's sticking to it. So sometimes you don't know in these kind of events, but it's for a good cause. 50 teams played nine holes on the orange and nine holes on the blue. They're coming in. They're for an award ceremony and some other activities. And, Bob, you were here at the noon hour before it got started. Lou Henson and his wife Mary and his former secretary Dorothy Damewood were all here. Tell us how Lou was doing. I saw Lou a couple weeks ago, but haven't seen him since.
Yeah, I think there was Kendall said he was a little worried about Lou because Lou's been under the weather a little bit lately. And so he talked to him and said he wasn't sure he was going to be here, and they showed up, and he was doing great. Greeting everybody, talking to everybody. He had a long reception line mm-hmm. for just talking to him, which is kind of how it always is with him. People are taking pictures. He's not asked to do autographs much. It's more like just taking pictures with him, which I think is cool. Very respectful. Obviously, everybody loves him here. It was fun. He seemed to be having a good time.
Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood here as well.
Right. They were here. Josh sat with Lou for a long time. And Brad Underwood spent a long time with the coach as well. So that's kind of a neat thing for them. Again, I think every time you can get out here in this kind of situation with the fans and the coaches and the AD, that's a great thing for Illinois and a great thing for the campus.
Was it 2 years ago that, it had to be more than that. Maybe not. Maybe 3 years ago when Josh Whitman and John Gross were high-fiving each other.
3 years ago. And 3 years ago here at the Kendall Gill Golf Outing when Jeremiah committed to Illinois, and obviously that didn't come to fruition with Tillman coming to Illinois, but that was one of those moments here at the Kendall Gill Golf Outing that has been chronicled throughout the years.
One of the guys that goes back a long time in the Kendall Gill Golf Outing is our friend Sam Banks. How are you doing, Mr. Banks?
Oh, doing great, Steve. How are you?
Talk about your relationship over the years with not only Cunningham, but with Kendall Gill as well.
Well, sure. Being at Cunningham as the CEO for 24 years, I think it was, really it was great. One of the things that when I first got started at the home, being involved in officiating, had a chance to get to know Kendall and the coaches at U of I. And when it came to coming up with a fundraiser that could help the club and the work and the kids, what we were trying to do for kids at that time, we thought about putting together a golf outing. And it was really Coach Collins, Jimmy Collins, who kind of helped me recruit that Fighting Illini, Flying Illini starting five. I said, it would be great if they just came and showed up, you know. Well, the only one to show up was Kendall. He came, and he visited the campus, spent some time with the kids, went around to the cottages at that time, and and just had an eye-opening, I think, experience of what Cunningham Children's Home did for kids and what our mission was about. And after we finished the golf outing that day, Kendall asked me a question. He said, "Sam, what can I do to continue to help?" And just off the top of my head, I said, "Why don't we just make this the Kendall Gill Golf Outing every year?" And he said, "It's a done deal." And 30 years later, he's still doing it.
Did you ever dream that 30 years later, he'd still be doing it and we'd still be talking about it? And he only missed maybe two of the events over the years.
Not at all. I tell you, you know, particularly someone of his stature, NBA basketball player, how many times has anyone, you know, former Illini athlete who moved away and went on to professional fame, had time, number one, to come back, let alone the inclination. And for Kendall to, I think, really become connected with the organization, not just be here to show up for a fundraiser, but get connected with the kids and connected with what the work was all about. I think that was the foundation of what's been a 30-year commitment that he's made to a great organization.
Did you ever do any of his games? Do you ever call any of his games?
You know, I never did at the time, you know, being living in Champaign. The only kind of games I would do refereeing-wise would be like a pre-conference game or non-conference, things like that. So I'd occasionally get one of those when they played like a Division II school or something like that. And that was kind of a standing rule in the Big Ten for officials, particularly in a community like Champaign where people know you.
Right.
Can you imagine my calling a last-second shot against Indiana and the ball goes in and I count it good for the Illini or the other way for the, you know, that's just a no-win situation.
Pretty tough. Yeah.
I never had a chance to do a game of consequence, I'd put it that way.
Sam, what's it like just to see everyone out here still and just you know, everyone embrace the outing, and you've got people eating dinner here, you've got, you know, some foursomes still coming in off the course, just how this community has just really gotten behind this golf outing over the years?
Yeah, it's been remarkable, the support that people in the community has brought to the outing. You know, having someone like Kendall as somewhat of a spokesperson, you know, for the organization, you know, certainly brings attention. But beyond that, you know, people really become connected with what the work is all about. They learn what the work is all about, and they appreciate what Cunningham has done for kids who live in the community as well as kids who need to come to the community because in their lives that has been so traumatic. And so, you know, the folks who come out, the sponsors, the people, and I look around. I was looking at some of the, saying hello to some of the people in the room in there, and there's some people who probably been in this outing for 30 years as well. You know, so the commitment that people have made is really what makes this golf outing special, and really what makes Cunningham Children's Home a special place to be a part of.
Sam Banks with us for another minute or two. Your son is also into officiating as well. He's a football guy, right?
He's a football guy, yes. I told him when he wanted to start officiating, I said, "Do football, man. One game a week, you know." And I always tease him because, you know, the football guys, they kind of get together, they huddle, they decide whether or not to pick up a flag or throw it down. Basketball guys, we gotta make that call on the spot, you know, bang-bang plays every time. But, no, I'm really proud of Brian. He's done a tremendous job. He's one of the top center judges in the Big Ten right now. He's worked the Big Ten championship game, worked some national games as well, profile games. So he's really done well, and hopefully he may even have a chance to work on Sundays one day.
I followed you around one time. You remember that, Bradley?
Bradley, I remember that.
So maybe I'll follow Brian around too.
That would be a great idea.
Make it a family thing, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for the warning, Bobby. He can run all
time. He can go call Brian now.
The only problem I had with you covering that game at Bradley, Bob, was you were yelling at me as well as the fans.
I was not. That's not true at all. I would have, though.
We'll let you put a little plug in for the Don Morier Boys and Girls Club. A lot of good things going on there.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking, Steve. As you know, after so many years at Cunningham and then going to Chicago for a little bit, I came back in support of the Boys and Girls Club here in town, and just another tremendous organization. You know, one of the things I often share, working at a place like Cunningham, one of the things that I used to say was, man, I wish we could have gotten that kid when he was eight. Or I wish we could have gotten that young lady when she was 12, when she was 7 or 8 instead of 14, 15, 16. Because by the time that they got to that age, you know, things had really gotten really, really tough and traumatic in their lives. And the great thing about the mission of the Boys and Girls Club is we get those kids when they're 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old. And we're able to impact them, impact their families, and hopefully prevent some of that matriculation to a more difficult point in their lives where they have to go to a Cunningham.
Sam Banks, good to see you, my friend.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the work you've been doing in the community.
Thank you.
Sam Banks with us here at the U of I golf course in Savoy. Kendall Gill golf outing for the Cunningham Children's Home. 5:41 is the time. Monday Night Sports Talk. We'll take a break and be back with more for you after this. Stay with us. I-45 WDWS, Monday Night Sports Talk with Bob Osmussen, Matt Daniels. I'm Steve Kelly. Scott Ritchie on vacation. He's out, I'm told, playing some golf around central Illinois, so that is a good thing for him. We're at the U of I golf course. Mike Walner is the director of golf. Been a busy guy here the last few days. The Players' Cup was over the weekend. Mike, by the way, a little full disclosure, he and I were partners in the Players' Cup.
How'd you do?
Moving on, we'll wow. talk about other. We were okay. We were in the old man division, of course, yeah. But hey, good job on that, and good outing, good turnout today.
Yeah, it was really good, and I'm actually the way I played this weekend. I'm really surprised you're talking to me. So let's just clarify that I don't think that I was not the weak link of our team. I was the weak link of our team. Kelly carried me all weekend, but we had a good time. We actually had a really good tournament. We had 80 teams, which is really one of the best turnouts of any tournament in town, 160 players that followed up with today. We had 200 in this, and this is an awesome event. You know, anytime you get, you know, Brad Underwood and Josh Whitman and Kendall, and you got Lou Henson out here. You know, if you get Lou out here on an 85-degree day, that you know something special is going on. So it's really fun to be a part of it.
And there have been, this is the 30th Kendall Gill golf outing, and most of them, not all, but most of them have been here.
Yeah, I would say probably 25 probably have been here. You know, Kendall has ties to this golf course. He worked here when he was in college, and, you know, I think he was the one that wanted to bring it back, to be quite honest with you. And, you know, we're obviously glad to have it, and it's excellent to work with, you know, Ginger and Taylor from Cunningham. They do a great job. And the thing they have that sets this outing off from anything else is the volunteers they have. I mean, they have 50, 60 people out here cooking. And I think Kendall's about ready to come in, so I'm going to get the big hook here in a second from you guys, which I expected. But we'll get Kendall over here shortly.
What did he do on the course?
Yeah, how's his golf game?
I believe he was on the grounds crew, to be honest. Okay. Or he helped around the building. I do remember a story Ron Shady told me several years ago. He said this skinny kid was a freshman. He goes, "You wait and see, Mr. Shady. I'm gonna be a star basketball player someday." Ed
worked out well.
Himself right.
How's his golf game?
Yeah.
Well, he's using my clubs. So.
Oops.
And they had, judging from this last weekend, they have a lot of good shots left in them. So I'm hoping he did pretty well. So, said he was playing pretty well when I saw him at the turn. So, yeah, I don't know. I've really never seen him hit other than a few putts. But, you know, he's got the body type to be able to hit it a long way. Plus, he's strong and lanky and can probably get some pretty good rotation and let it fly when he gets it going.
Might want to look at those irons and make sure they're still straight. They haven't touched a tree or anything.
Listen, if they didn't touch a tree on Saturday or Sunday with me, then they're fine.
You had you did something a little different. You had the 50 foursomes play 9 holes on the blue and 9 holes on the orange. Kind of a out-of-the-box thought there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might remember this back in the day that the old Grant Nade outing, that's how they used to do it several years ago. So I just kind of gave that little tidbit to them, and they wanted to do it, so it was all good.
Well, you predicted you're going to get bumped, and get out of here. Mike Walner, the director of golf, is with us, and the man of the hour is going to show up here. Kendall, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. We're live on the air. That's Bob Osmussen.
Yeah, I see you, Bob, really.
And Matt Daniels from the News Gazette, and I wanted to get caught up with you. 30 years of this. Did you dream that that was possible?
Never thought that I would be here 30 years later. I thought, you know, when I initially joined the Cunningham Children's Home Golf Outing, that it would probably be maybe at most 5 years, but, you know, the success of it has kept going and going. And, you know, we've been through a couple of directors so far and everything, but still, you know, the goal has still been the same, no matter who was in charge. And, you know, we can't say enough about the Cunningham staff and the faculty. They've done a great job of every year putting this thing on and fundraising. So, you know, as long as they'll have me, I'll be back every year.
We were talking earlier, and you might have a better thought about this than we did. You know a lot of athletes. You interact with a lot of people, both former players and in your role as a media guy as well. Do you know of any other kind of event like this with that kind of longevity around the country?
No, none. And, you know, I know some of the players that I played with in my pro career have had events like this, but no, they have not been able to last as long as we have. And, you know, I commend everybody, even the people that continue to come out and participate. There's a lot of golfers that were here 30 years ago that started out with us. So, you know, I want to give them a lot of credit for helping the golf outing continue to grow and to continue to prosper. We had 37 foursomes last year. We had 50 this year. So, you know, it just shows that everybody is still excited about coming out here to participate for a good cause.
What was it like seeing Coach Henson and Mary earlier today at all?
Oh, it was great. Every time I get a chance to see them, and, you know, we talk by phone sometimes, but phone conversations and seeing each other in person are different. And, you know, I tell you what, Coach Henson is probably one of the strongest human beings I've ever been around or seen. I mean, we all know that the challenges he's had with his health, but he continues to come out. You know, Mrs. Henson told us that he may come out. And I didn't expect him to be out because I didn't think that he would feel well enough to come out. But when I came here, he was sitting right in the chair where he always is. And, you know, but that's Coach, that's Lou Henson for you. You know, he doesn't let anything hold him down.
How'd you play today?
Actually, you know what? I played pretty good. you know, first time I played since last year this time.
Really?
But I hit him straight, and I only played with 3 balls the whole 18 holes. I didn't lose anything. And I was able to, you know, hit some good shots. My drive was a lot better. Maybe it's because I'm older that I'm slowing down and I don't want to do things as fast, you know, and hit the ball as hard and far as I used to. You know, when I was young, I was just gung-ho. I wanted to drive it 300 yards. Now I just want to hit it straight.
Or maybe it's because you're a natural athlete and you can do things like this.
Well maybe. I don't know. I think it has a little bit to do with both. But, you know, I slowed down my swing. I didn't get any instruction from anybody. You know, I actually watched the Golf Channel a couple days. I said, let me watch the Golf Channel, pick up some things before I go down. And it worked, actually.
Don't learn from Charles Barkley. That would not be the swing you want to follow.
Yeah, his swing is terrible. But, you know, I try to have a nice, smooth swing, let the club do the work, not try to muscle the ball. And it worked for me today.
This sport is hard, isn't it?
It's very hard. It's humbling. And it tells on you. Because if you don't practice, if you don't come out and hit balls at the driving range, work on your shooting game, you'll be able to tell right away. And, you know, I have to continue to work and play better. I think that I'm going to commit myself to the game more, especially after me coming out here and playing a whole lot better than I thought I was. You know, and I actually enjoyed playing today because I didn't have to go look for balls. I hit the ball relatively straight, and, you know, the game was faster for me today.
I wish we had more time because I was going to have you explain the NBA situation of free agency. Isn't it wild?
It's totally wild. Can't believe the money that these guys are making today. You know, I told my parents the other day, I'm upset with you because you had me too early.
Right.
You know, these guys are making $180 million and $200 million is the super max. Some guys that don't even average 10 points a game are getting $85 million for 4 years. You know, and I know a lot of the older players complained about when I was here and we were making the money that we made. They probably said the same things about us, but they didn't have the astronomical contracts that they have now back then when I was playing. So, but hey, you know, I give it to the guys. the league is flourishing, and that's just good for everybody.
Why do you think the NBA free agency is really kind of taking hold and grabbing all the headlines now these days?
Well, because it's created a lot of parity in the league. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant leaves Golden State. Right. Jimmy Butler goes to Miami. Kawhi Leonard leaves a championship team and a city that loves him for L.A. to go and play second fiddle to mm-hmm. the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, so there's a lot of intrigue in it. Will the Golden State Warriors come back and be a powerhouse? Klay Thompson, of course, with his ACL tear. You know, now you can't tell really what team is going to win the championship. Before, mm-hmm. we knew it was going to be, for the last 4 or 5 years, it was going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the championship. And, you know, now Toronto. But, you know, now you got Giannis Antetokounmpo up, and you just don't know who's going to be the top team anymore.
They're going to need you over there next door pretty quick, so we're going to let you go. Appreciate your friendship. Appreciate what you've done in this 30 years. It's great.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. This is my second home.
Thanks, Kendall.
Kendall Gill, 555. Need to take one final break here on Monday Night Sports Talk. We'll do that and be back after this. Stay with us. It is 556 on Monday Night Sports Talk. Steve Kelly, along with Matt Daniels, Bob Osmussen, Scott Ritchie on vacation. Thanks to Kendall Gill for stopping by. He took a little extra time out on the golf course. I said, well, why not? It's his golf outing, right?
Yeah, it is. And it sounds from the way he was playing that he had himself a good day out there.
You got some news on a Hall of Fame? Because speaking of Hall of Famers, we just let one go, and you've got a news on a Hall of Fame class.
Yeah, and Centennial High School in Champaign just announced their third ever class. It'll be inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame. It'll be honored in late January 2020 before a boys basketball game, and then they have a reception the next day. But 10-person class and some pretty notable names. Coleco Bowie, former basketball star in the early 90s, played at Chicago State, Missouri State, which was Southwest Missouri State at the time. But he's in there. Jacob Bushu, soccer star for Centennial, led him almost to the state tournament 10 years ago in 2009, played at Indiana in college as well. Andrew Kottner, a really good baseball pitcher for Centennial, then pitched at Parkland and Illinois State, and then pitched in the Mets organization for a few years in the early 90s. Kent Crawford, another really good baseball player, played at Parkland at Illinois. Stephanie Duringer, cross-country track and field, distance runner. She ran at Michigan State in the mid-90s. Anthony Figueroa, popular name around town these days, former Centennial boys basketball player, now men's basketball coach at Parkland. Peyton Johnson, swimming. Three-time state champion, swam at Michigan in the mid-2000s. Tammy Seward, girls basketball and softball. She was the Centennial's all-time leading scorer, graduated in 1990. Marnie Tobin, first-ever state champion girls swimmer, swam at Illinois as well. And then Dustin Ward, football quarterback for the Illini as right. well. So
he's coaching these days, isn't he?
He is. I couldn't track down where he was in limited research.
Division two somewhere.
He was at DePaul for a while, and then he went to VMI, but he's right. moved around quite a bit. But some really notable names from some really good athletes in Centennial's history.
Well, you guys have been busy with all your U of I review yesterday's paper, the Coach of the Year, and all mm-hmm. these kinds of different things. That looks like a fun but a tedious job.
That's why Scott Ritchie's on vacation this week. He did the lion's share of that work, and we had a chance to recognize a lot of great athletes and coaches and moments and everything else that happened this past school year. So,
how many complaints so far?
Only a few.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Grant Van Scoy, baseball, could have been on there.
Missed out
on that for some of those. But that's going to happen with any comprehensive right. list you do. You try to cover as many bases as you can, but you're going to leave out a player or a coach or someone who feels should have been on there. But it's a very thorough look. It took up 4 pages in Sunday's paper, so there you go.
The All-Star break is upon us in baseball. The Central Division is quite an interesting thing there, with the Cubs leading the Brewers by a half game. The Cardinals are 2 back. The Pirates are 2.5 back. The Reds are 4.5 back. I don't know if it's...
I think you have to feel good if you're the Reds.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
They're in it, no doubt. Bob, appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Steve.
Matthew, thank you. Hope you feel better.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks to our guest tonight, Marlon Livingston, the CEO of the Cunningham Children's Home. Sam Banks, who has been associated with that for many, many years. Now the head of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. Mike Walder, director of golf here. And, of course, Kendall Gill right here. And thanks to Tamara McDaniel for her help with us on the program. WDWS Champaign-Urbana, Monday Night Sports Talk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.